And welcome to the Hagmann Report for tonight. Tonight, it is Thursday, November 14, 2024. The information packed show with me is Steve Whale from stevewhale.com, Renaissance Precious Metals. I can get through this. I'm taking, addiction courses. Apparently I need to. And of course, gen6.com. Folks, if you haven't gone to gen6.com and looked over the array of, books and DVDs and such, video on demand, do so. Because a lot of important stuff, plus his briefings. Let me tell you something, it's worth the money. There are publications I like. I like Trends, the Trends Journal. I like a lot of things, but Steve Quayle's, his briefings seem to be probably, well, it's history. As Gerald Zeleny says, his is history before it happens. Steve Quayle is history before it happens. And I like that, frankly. A lot of things to get into, as I said, tonight with Steve Quayle. But first, I want to thank you, the listeners and viewers of this show, especially those people who have taken the time to create a Rumble account and to subscribe or follow us on Rumble. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate you following us on Rumble. It does raise our metrics and it does increase the ability for us to reach more people. Thank you so much. It's really not about, you know, how many subscribers we have. It's really about the reach. And that's something that I'm going to talk about just momentarily here. Before I do, I want to just direct your attention to don'twastepower.com. You know, with winter coming up, we already saw a summer with record electricity bills, 10-year record highs this past summer. So, and it's, look, you've got the power companies who really answer to the shareholders. You've got the policies that are backwards and upside down here in the U.S. and elsewhere. So that's why I lower my energy bills with the help of that little awesome device, and absolutely love the cost savings it gives me. It really paid for it in the first month thereabouts. I have three in my office. I have three in my home, and I've got two in the studio. And the only reason for two in the studio is because of the way the currents are set up, and it does the job, let me tell you. I really want everyone to visit don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com, or simply click on the link in the description box right below this episode here to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills, up to 66% off of free shipping, plus several other bonuses with every order. It's all completely free. The bonuses, that is, the in that, it's really a great product. Don'twastepower.com. And I thank them for helping us keep the lights on. Now, very, very, just a couple of quick things here. Liberal heads, like I said, opened the show yesterday, liberal heads are exploding. If you haven't noticed, my goodness, people on the left, if you've turned on MSNBC, if you turned on NBC or CNN, you're seeing a lot of rending of garments and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The purple-haired, nose-pierced, tattoo-laden blobs on the left, who are members of the cult, are screaming. And what's even more important, people like Andrew Weissman and McCabe, Brennan, Comey, all of these people are scared out of their minds, as well as they should be. Look, you have RFK being tapped for HHS secretary. I don't know if I want to lose Dick Levine. I can't take it with RFK. I mean, you know, heading HHS. And of course, people are talking about Matt Gaetz. Oh, he'll never be, even that scumbucket slimeball Kevin McCarthy, he won't make it. Okay, shut up and sit down, because I'm going to tell you what. We are about to take over the institutions of this country, and we are about to force disclosure. Oh, did I say disclosure? Yeah. I'll tell you about that in just one second here, but let me explain this very quickly. You know, President Trump is going to be hiring about 4,000, count them, 4,000 people for 450 agencies, in addition to the cabinet positions. Do you understand what I just said? That's a lot of people. 1,000 require confirmation by the Senate of that 4,000. Again, 450 federal agencies. And if you do the math on that, try getting 400 or 1,000, the requisite confirmation for the people in a short amount of time. It's crazy. But with Matt Gaetz, if we can get the recess, that will be done rapidly, expediently. I believe that's on the ticket. I think that's going to happen. And if not, I know there's a plan B. Cash Patel, by the way, rumored to be heading up the FBI. And if you read Government Gangsters, I'm going to tell you, if I was Andrew Weissman, McCabe, Lisa Monaco, any of these morons out there, these criminals, I'd be looking looking for a condo in the United Arab Emirates. But because there's a whole boatload of disclosure coming, I promise you that. And with that, okay, so with that, tonight, with Steve Quayle, we're going to be talking about the UFO disclosure and why the Pentagon is releasing the information right now. And that, what I said earlier, is not unrelated to tonight's topic. This, all of this is connected because there are a lot of people out there that don't want the information that we're about, that Steve is about to give. Not me. I'm an investigator. Somebody sat me down here, put a microphone in front of my face and said, here, talk about this. But I'm telling you, Steve Quayle is going to be talking about fallen angels, okay, alien fallen angels. You remember what Tucker Carlson talked about, demons, and what to expect in the coming months, which I'm going to ask him, and I'm going to hold him to that. But with me is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, Renaissance Precious Metals, and Gen 6. Steve, thank you so much for your patience, and I appreciate you coming on.
Well, Doug, I think the word disclosure, is going to be the predominant word. And tonight we're going to deal with the phenomenon that Tucker Carlson pretty much brought the world's attention to. Most people confuse fallen angels, demons, and evil spirits. They're not the same. Fallen angels, I want to make this clear, cannot be killed. The Bible's very clear about that. Fallen angels can be fighting in the heavens with God's righteous angels. Some of them can be chained in everlasting darkness until the day of their great judgment. But there's this confusion on supernatural evil. And what we want the viewers and listeners to understand tonight is if they've gone, oh, I don't believe in that stuff, it's before their face, and I want to make sure they know how to handle it when it's in their bedroom. Why? By that, I mean, I'm getting emails, I'm hearing of preternatural, supernatural evil, and even happening to, Christians. The thing is, this is a very revealing show, pun intended, because I think it's important that people understand this. The Pentagon has been covering up everything. They've been covering up everything and covering over everything. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a secret government and there is a crew called Majestic 12. And it's still in progress. The people that are the heads of it, when they die prior to their death, they choose their predecessors. But that's all being blown open. And Eric, can you put up that first story I gave you? Because Doug, tonight, we're going to back up. I'm going to back up everything I say. But first and foremost, I think people need to understand that the phenomenon is happening in astronomical numbers all over the world. And the thing that's different, so many cell phone cameras, people are grabbing stuff in real time, and they can no longer keep a lid on it. So if we could have that first, there you go. Let me see if I can get it too. Well, anyway.
I read this, and folks, the title, this is from the Daily Mail. Pentagon says UFO nearly crashed in the commercial airliner above New York. Bombshell report is released, and a committee in Congress just went through this unidentified aerial phenomenon hearings, which to me, I don't think they've done that. Well, I don't know if they ever have done that, but go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, if you wouldn't mind, because I can't see it
sure
on the screen, you can read about the first four sentences, the paragraph, especially where it talks about how many incidents have been recorded in just the last few months. It's where it's talking about 700 plus incidents. Can you see that on your screen?
Yeah, I can. And Eric, if you can keep that up so people can follow along, because this is so important. The Pentagon, again, this is Daily Mail starting now. The Pentagon has released a new report on UFOs. click the hyperlink, folks, that revealed hundreds of documented incidents of unidentified and unexplained aerial phenomena, UAPs. While there is no evidence to suggest that these UAPs, the government's term for UFOs, are extraterrestrial or of extraterrestrial origin, some defy explanation, including a near miss between a commercial airliner and a mysterious object off the coast of New York. By the way, that should be a near hit. Near miss implies, a hit. But anyway, the report comes as public interest in UAPs has skyrocketed, prompting the U.S. government to work to provide some answers about these strange objects. It was published the day after the House lawmakers called for greater government transparency during a hearing on UAPs. And now this is important, too. The Pentagon's review detailed 757 cases of UAP encounters that were reported to U.S. authorities mainly between the 1st of May 2023, that was last year, of course, for those keeping track at home, and June 1st of this year. That total includes 272 incidents that occurred before the time period but not previously reported. And these reports include reports from commercial and military pilots, as well as ground-based observers. So there you have it.
Well, again, we're talking about disclosure, and they can no longer keep a lid on it. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, whenever the Pentagon or the government officials are forced to tell the truth, they never tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And obviously, so help them, Lucifer, not God. The bottom line is that this is becoming the acceleration of the word disclosure. And before we go on, Doug, if Eric, put up the Boebert article, because we broke news on the Hagman report, I think a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, Doug, on the secret underwater government joint alien base off the Baja called Cornerstone. And I got a story to tell on that that's mind-boggling. So, Eric, put that up, if you wouldn't mind. Again, Doug, if you would read it, because I can't see it. It's just small on my screen.
Sure. Let me grab it right here. Talk amongst yourselves, folks. Okay. This is from Channel 9 News. Boebert, as in Lauren Boebert, questions UFO experts on underwater civilizations. Huh. Boebert joined other members of the House Oversight Committee in a hearing about UFO transparency. And if I can interject this real quick, in an unrelated setting, Lauren Boebert said a couple of very, very controversial things. And I suspect it was to make a point about something else, and it was in a joking fashion. But, you know, sometimes that's rooted in recent discussions and things of relevance. So I'm just saying. But did you want me to read this or part of this? Or
yeah, no? read the first couple paragraphs, if you don't mind.
All right, sure. So Colorado's Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert pressed witnesses Wednesday at a UFO hearing on theories that she said she's heard about non-human civilizations underwater. All right. Members of the House Oversight Committee, they've spent more than a year trying to uncover secret government research into alien life and UFOs, again referred to as UAPs. This Wednesday's hearing, now titled UAP or Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, Exposing the Truth, featured four experts who said that U.S. government and the Pentagon should be more transparent about UFO sightings and research. And folks, click the links in the articles. You need to do that to get the background information. And Boebert agreed, saying that the American people are being kept in the dark. She then questioned experts on rumors she'd heard about aliens. And I'll end it with this paragraph. She says, there are rumors that have come up to the Hill of a secretive project within the Department of Defense. Now, my parenthetically saying, gee, where have we heard this before and read about this before? Yeah, I'm looking at Steve. Okay, involving the manipulation of human genetics with what is described as non-human genetic material for the enhancement of human capabilities, or hybrids. This is Boebert's own words. Are any of you familiar with that? Yes or no? And if you watched this, and I watched this prior to showtime, no, I don't think so. Very, very tepid responses. And, you know, if you read the body language, I don't know if they're really telling the truth. So, Steve, back to you.
Well, first of all, the truth is so foreign and so non-realistic in their world. Of course, they're not telling the truth. Now, before anybody dismisses Representative Boebert's statements, I want everyone to know something. Gen 6 obviously has a gentleman who lives in the Baja. His name is Jesse G. He's our director of antiquities, and he has filmed the orbs coming out of the water there. He has watched in real time craft going in the water, under the water, and coming out of the water. When we started in the Glyph Project years ago, we broke the story because it was deciphered in, and again, without going into long detail, it was deciphered from the fallen angel languages from antiquity that Operation Cornerstone, as a military calls it. Cornerstone is a submerged underwater joint alien U.S. base. When that story broke, and it was on, Doug, I think I broke it on your, yeah, I know I did. You know, I do your show, my show. The thing that was interesting is a lot of the Navy pilots that actually filmed some of these things, I'm told, I cannot verify this, you know, every time they find out the truth, you know, they have to sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. And, but what was fascinating, there was such a stink raised because guess what, everyone? The majority of the phenomenon happens around that base, especially the underwater or basically unidentified submerged objects. And this is, you've watched it. You've watched it in the F-18s, all of the infrared pictures, and these vehicles are moving so fast. And for the record, it even showed up in some of the Glyph translations. And for the record, the Glyph translations are ancient, archaic, many times symbols and language, but they're talking about the time now and the great deception that's coming. And ladies and gentlemen, I would just tell you this. The private briefings, there's nothing like it in the world. It's not just the economy. It's not just this, that, or the other thing. It is a composite integration of the tapestry of deceit, but more importantly, the revelation of all how all these pieces fit together. And the Glyph Project is still open. You can go on my front page. And Doug, we got over 100 questions, and you hosted the show. And thank you again, Eric, for everything you did. And it wouldn't have happened without Eric and Doug. The point being is that all of the revelations we're seeing now are pointing to the fact that the alien disclosure from their mouths, not just the lying devils from, you know, La La Land or Wonderland and the Potomac, what we're seeing is the enunciation on their part that they're getting ready to reveal themselves. Now, fast forward, Eric, if you wouldn't mind, to the Hopi prophecy of the man in the red hat. I think this is critical, Doug, and then I'll turn it right over to you. Ladies and gentlemen, a Hopi prophecy that was filmed in 1972, but the prophecy was given, you know, I believe at the turn of the century. And it's the most astonishing thing. It actually blew my mind because I'm familiar with the Hopi prophecies and but not all of them, especially this one. And I would encourage everybody to watch it. In all the times I've been in the desert Southwest and multiple times, talking to Native American elders, talking to the Native Americans themselves that will speak, and talking to the late Cliff Mahudi, I was given a really, I would say this, a PhD in understanding. This is not bragging. This is, you know, I'm just telling you of a lot of the symbols, imagery, and especially concerning stargates and portals. But also, ladies and gentlemen, and leave that up if you wouldn't mind, Eric, this prophecy is astonishing because if you read the, Doug, will you read the title? Because again, my eyes are blurry. I've got my close-up glasses on.
The title is Hopi Prophecy, The Fifth World and the Last Sign.
The last sign. Yeah. These are the last days. This is the end of the ages. I would tell everybody, especially the biggest skeptics, this was given. I mean, this wasn't given at the point, but it was recorded by another Hopi elder explaining some of the most amazing events to take place. And basically, I'll give you the bottom line.
Before you do that, may I impose a question sure. for clarification? Many people are going to not accuse you, but accuse us, or say, well, we're relying on a prophecy by a group of, Hopis, okay? Are you looking at this not as a spiritual prophecy, like a biblical prophecy, but more in terms of evidentiary value that supports the biblical narrative, the biblical.
I wouldn't use the word support, but I would say goes along with the biblical narrative. Yeah, and I think that's a good question. And Eric, if you put up the first scripture I gave you, because I want to give people a scriptural understanding, because again, God says his people are going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. And Doug, as these scriptures come up again, if you would be so kind to read them, because again, it's critical that people understand this is a spiritual battle, that we don't fight against flesh and blood. And for the record, I've been doing this for 40 years. Tom Horn and I started, I think, 25 years ago. And it's critical that people understand the truth is the truth, whether a Hopi elder says it, and they tell the truth more than the lying devils at the Pentagon, in my opinion. So, I'm just telling you that's a great question you asked, but it's not on par with scripture, but it's ancillary to scripture. It's just Thank you. People will find something in Nostradamus or Mother Shipton or Baba Vanga, the blind prophet from, Eastern Europe. But the thing is that there's a universal thread of prophecy that runs through. In essence, it's when everybody knows what's going to happen. They've got a feeling. Well, I got to tell you something. I have yet to see, and because I have enough knowledge from the Glyph Project, I have seen some of the Native American elders on Skinwalker Ranch, and kudos to Brendan Vogel. I mean, he's doing a knockout job. Obviously, I have Travis Taylor in our film, Earth in the Crosshairs, and I want people to understand something. I changed the word of extraterrestrials to extra dimensionals, because there are dimensions that are unseen that are now becoming seen. In essence, the invisible is taking on visibility. So if we can put up that first scripture, because I want people to understand, I'm not on anything that will support the UFO thing. No, what I'm telling, this is a universal thing. Jesus said there's never been anything like it, nor would be again. And he's talking about, he said over and over, one of the last things Jesus said was, see that ye be not deceived. And I'll tell you, I think we're watching right now in the whole political arena, this is my opinion, I think we're watching Circus Distracticus, and it's keeping us from some of the really powerful revelations that are prophetically, especially in the Word of God. So, the scriptures are clear that even Satan can manifest himself and his angels also as angels of light. And so this is one of the things I want to deal with tonight. Again, fallen angels. So Eric, did you put that scripture up, please? I think it was the second one. Doug, will you read that?
The Corinthians or Revelation?
Revelation first.
Okay, Revelation. This is Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. And again, this is a King James version. And after things I saw, another angel from heaven having great power. I'm having a little issue here. Okay, the words are cut. Some of the words are cut off, and I apologize for this. Let me just do this. Okay. Having great power and the earth within his glory. Am I reading that correctly?
I put it out of sequence. It's my fault. Go to the Corinthians first.
Okay. Let me do that. This comes from 2 Corinthians. chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, King James Version. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is... Oh, man. Let me grab this. Hang on. Thank you. All right, let me start over. One second here. Sorry, folks. I apologize. You know, when you get older, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, when you get older, these things do happen, and it's very difficult to read. All right. I lost it.
Okay.
I lost it, brother.
Eric, can you put it up on the main screen and where Doug is, and I'll read it?
Okay. What was the chapter? Hang on one second here. Let me just go over.
Okay, I got it. Let me read it, Doug, and we'll do this on all of them.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
And again, you know, I've got glasses that are good for 18 inches. And thank you, Eric. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, transforming themselves, they're talking about something other than humans. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself of little. That which I speak it, not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in the confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will also glory, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. So what this basically is stating is there's always a conflict between the spiritual realm and the people that try and put it into their own terminology and knowledge base. Now, if you go to Revelation, I would appreciate it.
And I've got this one, Steve, if you want it.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
All right. So this is Revelation 1-3. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
Go on with 4 and 5.
4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of here, my people, and ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities.
When I hear people ask, they just don't know what's happened to this country, and they forget what Jesus spoke about, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, but he didn't say they won't open. And ladies and gentlemen, with Tucker Carlson's revelation of literally having the scars on his body with fighting with demons, the church is scared. I can't say that word. The church is scared into a total blank, I guess you'd say denial. That's a better word. And dealing with demons is nobody's favorite subject. Yet I want people to look at what happens when Jesus encountered the Gadarene demoniac. And I'll read this again, Eric, if you put that up, and I'll read it, because I don't think people understand the basis. Jesus showed his authority over the unclean spirits. But then Jesus tells us basically that he's given us this authority to basically set people free. He sets the captives free. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when Jesus saw afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried with a loud voice, "This is a man who's demon-possessed," and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." This is not an earthly man. This is the legion of demons, which means this guy had about at least 1,000 of them. He said, and he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God, the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" This is Jesus asking the evil spirits to identify themselves. And he asked them, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And this is really a critical thing. The reason that you, and I'm telling you this, God's people are going to have to start dealing with deliverance on levels they've never known before. And I've seen grown preachers that can preach like the storm in a cyclone in the South Pacific, and they absolutely are terrified of this. When Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy," that includes the power of deception. And what's important that people understand is this, is that where that used to be contained, in other words, there weren't thousands of cases of open demon possession, demon control. Now it is absolutely a daily event. A good example is all the parents killing their children. What kind of monsters were those parents? The demon possessed. Because again, the blood of the innocents always pays for the sin of the older generation. And that's a phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. There's probably not a day that goes by that you don't see some whack job of a father or some whack job of a mother, like the one that drove off the cliff with her kids or the one that poisons her kids. And what's interesting, we've got a death and blood and guts gore factor in the United States that's never been seen before. And it's only going to get worse. Now, what is our hope as Christians? And why is this alien disclosure so important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the very first recorded abductions were always about sex. They were taking the eggs out of females. They were taking the sperm out of males. They were doing horrible other things to their bodies. And then they were extracting the very seeds of life, and they were creating hybrids. Now, why is this important? Because with the vaccinations, the messenger RNA, this is the science of hell. And at some point, and Tom Horn did an amazing interview. I just found it today. Actually, it was sent to me by Daniel Holdings. And in that interview, which was 14 years ago, 2010, he was talking to Gary Stearman, and this is 14 years ago, about the potential for bird flu, pay attention, note the date, becoming the final pandemic in which the powers of hell would offer mankind freedom and their lives if they just take the new vaccine. But what he also talked about, I miss Tom so much. He has to, in my opinion, be one of the brightest men, and this isn't flattery, and one of the finest speakers I've ever heard in my life. I don't know anybody of that caliber. But the bottom line is the fact that he said that 14 years ago, but here's the deal. He talked about the transformational interface of hybridized DNA with the human DNA, and ultimately the price that Satan will demand from people that want to live when this bird flu is weaponized and released on a level that we've never seen before is, in essence, if you want to live, you got to take this vaccine. The vaccine, Tom Horn said, will incorporate the technological and medical components to make it the mark of the beast. And the Bible is very clear, ladies and gentlemen, If you take the mark of the beast, you're damned. Because with the genetic manipulation of the human genome, there comes a point where a hybrid and Jesus as the Son of Man died for humanity, humankind. That's why the fallen angels in the book of Enoch sought Enoch to pray to the living God and to beg God to forgive them. But there was no forgiveness for them. The most wonderful thing I know is the two R words, repentance and reconciliation to God the Father. And through that, we get restored. There is not one single mention in the political theater of repentance. When God's people, and I'm talking the majority of the Christian claimants, turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ, would not accept God's offer of forgiveness. And since 9/11, the amount of years have gone by. And what's interesting to me, Doug, is the fact that God basically turns that nation, it's a historic fact, over to destruction. And I don't care who says what politically, I'm telling you, there are no political solutions to a spiritual problem. And this is where the alien disclosure comes in. Because what if they're the ones that show up with super syringes and they come in the form of Gort the robot? That's from the show, The Day the Earth Stands Still. The thing is that people be so terrified because, and then be terrified that they're going to die of the bird flu, but then the word of God will go out. God will warn the people, especially because the two witnesses, I believe, book, you know, that's spoken of by in the book of Revelation that appear concurrently with the Antichrist will be warning people, do not take that vaccine or you'll be damned. I'm not talking about the present vaccine, but I'm talking about the coming vaccine and the one that's going to be what I would call, what's the word I want? A dimensional changing human genome destroying supernatural evil substance by which when people take it, they'll be told they can't eat unless they take it and watch their children die. I mean, think of the pressure on a parent that watches little Johnny or little Mary or little Billy, you know, starving. That's bad enough, but writhing in pain. I mean, the seduction. And I think this is where people have to understand free will. God will not allow that to happen without a voice. In this case, the two voices. In my opinion, it's Enoch and Elijah. Both of them never saw death. Moses did die. And forgive me, but the angels of the Lord or the angel of the Lord buried him. So, ladies and gentlemen, the neat thing about understanding the difference between fallen angels, demons, and let me explain what a demon is. A demon is not a fallen angel. A fallen angel is not a demon. The Greek word is daimonizimai, which means basically demon, a disembodied spirit. So when the giants were killed, Goliath and his brothers and all the others, King Og of Bashan and the ones before them, that evil hybrid spirit that was a combination of fallen angel DNA and human women eggs, those became the hybrids on the earth, the mighty men of renown, the Gibberim, the Anakim, and everything that ends in IM, you know, pretty much was the genetic seed of the hybridization of fallen angels mingling with earth women. And where are we right now? We're back at the same point in time where now we're being promised the same lie in the garden. You'll never die. You'll never grow old. And when you get tired of this body, you just get a new one and you're going to know all good and evil. You know, that's the basic promise of general intelligence, total general intelligence, where everybody knows everything. But they can't know the things of the Spirit of God except the Holy Spirit of God reveal them. So we're talking about the seduction of the human race on a level that's never been seen before. And so I think that this is why the alien factor is so critical. Whether they show up in their spaceships, but going back to the Hopi prophecy, one of the most profound things, and ladies and gentlemen, this will be linked on Doug's website, is the fact that towards the end of it, they talk about the man in the red hat is when the aliens come to Earth and basically reveal their presence and take control. Now, this is going to be interesting because I don't know how it works yet in totality, but there will be an agreement between the Antichrist. Remember, Antichrist means in place of. And I see Jesus Christ being moved out of the way by his people that most of them won't stand up for him. And God bless those who do. I mean, seriously. And in place of Jesus Christ will be the Antichrist. He's going to promise great things. He's going to seemingly have the whole world captivated by his wisdom, by his knowledge and understanding. But ladies and gentlemen, it ultimately ends in this. You take the mark of the beast, you're damned forever. And Doug, I have over the years, you know, whatever, how many, 4 decades now, I guess, going on. I have dealt with this number one question. If I take the mark of the beast and my children don't defeat them, will God understand? I said, yes, he'll send you to hell. Because there is another alternative, and that is to trust God, to believe God. And, you know, the Lord says he won't suffer us to be tempted beyond what we're able to handle, but in the temptation, make a way of escape. One of the ways of escape is if you're armed with knowledge ahead of time, then you can start seeking God for his strength to fight this stuff. And I want to make it clear, there are no weapons on a carnal basis that can defeat the fallen angels. And here's another thing I want to share. One of the questions that was asked in our Glyph Project, and for those of you who don't understand the Glyph Project, please go on the link on my front page on stevequayle.com. But the confusion over fallen angels, angels do not die. Again, I want to make this clear. Demons do not die. When they become disembodied, until they're all rounded up, they look for people or even inanimate objects to possess. They have to make their presence known through one way or the other. And in essence, in animals, i.e. the gathering demoniac asked the evil spirits, asked Jesus to send them in the pigs. Well, Jesus allowed it, and then the pigs ran off the cliff and all drowned. But I think what I'm trying to, and I'm praying I get across tonight, is that God loves his people. God holds out the wonderful crimson tide of the blood of Jesus for all who will accept it. Now, look, I get called a narrow-minded Christian. I said, narrow-minded? Are you kidding me? I have dealt with so many, topics that aren't even on anybody's radar before they're on radar. And, you know, both Chuck Missler, God bless him, who told Tom Horn, he said, God used Steve. Now, notice this, not Steve. God used Steve to basically bring the Genesis 6 narrative and the realm of spiritual warfare into the public domain. Tom Horn told me that before Tom passed away. And when you and I and Tom would do stories, when you and I and Tom would do interviews, remember he'd tell all the cool stories? God raised up Tom Horn. And again, some of the stuff that he was talking about, as soon as I get the link, Doug, it may not be for today's show or tonight's show, but I'll send it to you because it was the most flabbergasted interview I've ever heard Tom do. And by the way, I thought I'd heard pretty much everything, but his interview with Gary Stearman just knocked it out of the park. The most prescient, the most important thing is Tom, 14 years ago, talked about bird flu being the vehicle for the mark of the beast and the whole setup. Ladies and gentlemen, only God could have revealed that to him that long ago. Anybody can say, well, I had this prophecy, thus say, and I'm not mocking God, but thus saith the Lord, bird flu will be a pandemic and take many lives. I mean, that's not a prophecy. That's what I call a headline reverberation. But the point is, and this is critical, the alien phenomenon is a supernatural, extra-dimensional invasion of us. And, you know, as somebody who's spent, you know, a lot of years on this, my very first book, and you've got it, is Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race.
Unbelievable book, by the way.
Yeah. And I by the grace of God, that book is out of print, and I think I've got it in audio form. I'm going to release it pretty soon. And the thing that is most amazing to me is when you look at Jacques Vallée, the French UFO expert, I mean, Jacques Vallée was, pun intended, so far ahead of his time, and the Project Blue Book and all this stuff. But Jacques Vallée and even Whitley Strieber, who, you know, his book Communion, he changed his tune afterwards. But he said it was as if I was dealing with demons, devils, and yet I'm paraphrasing, and yet my intellectual understanding wouldn't allow that. Jacques Vallée said the more he reads and understands and investigates, everything that he has come to the conclusion is a supernatural phenomenon. It is not an earthly or even an interplanetary phenomenon. It is an interdimensional spiritual phenomenon. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can read that, or Brad Stegner, and there's just so many of the older guys, J. Allen Hynek, you know, I mean, the Air Force, which sponsored Project Blue Book, put their own espionage agent in it. So everything that Alan Hynek would find, due to some pretty good investigating skills, the military would subvert from within. So I want people to understand something. The mainstream media, or the mainstream media whores, or the mainstream media accessories to genocide, look what's happening. CNN is dying. MSNBC is dying because they believe so much horse manure and put it out day after day after day. You know what the biggest booming business is in Washington, D.C.? Dry cleaners. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I've been told this, that you can't believe the dry cleaning bills, because so many people, I guess, are having problems controlling their bowels. Oh, that's so tacky. It's the truth. And it's time that the people of understanding stand up and speak up and resist evil. So in essence, that when we reveal this stuff, and this stuff is, I would say this, you pull the curtains back behind the man behind the screen, and you find out that fallen angels control every major world leader. And in essence, somebody goes, well, man, this guy's got, like, there's something not right with him. He's not human. Well, that's what non-human entities are, because Satan entered into Judas. Satan can enter. He can even manifest himself as an angel of light. You know, he does that daily. And the thing that was interesting, Malachi Martin, he got a lot of flack from a lot of Catholics, but, you know, the windswept house, Martin, most people don't know this, Malachi Martin was a really well-educated and a man who had the knowledge, and it was in the deliverance ministry or the exorcism business, you know, and I don't mean he made a business of it, but that was his expertise. And ladies and gentlemen, the evil spirits at one point, I don't know why, pushed him down a stairs, I think, and he lost his life. But he was such a threat to the supernatural evil hierarchy in the Catholic Church. It's like Cardinal Vigano. Man, that guy's got it. He's got it together. You know, I'm not a Catholic, by the way, and I'm not bashing Catholics. But the point is that it's critical that people understand, if they cannot stand up against, will not fight what they see. And I'll give this to you. You're the investigator, and that's true. What happens when stuff that they wouldn't deal with in the natural becomes overwhelming in the supernatural?
Oh, man, people will freeze up, freak out, and it will be ugly, to say the least. I think I captured your, hopefully I captured your, where you were headed with that. I do have two questions when you're ready, been thinking about, but it's your, whenever you're okay with questions, go ahead.
I'm good now.
Okay. So I know some people listening right now have this question, and I'm going to put this one first. Okay. The mark of the beast, as you were referencing, okay, the Bible does state that, you know, it'll be a mark on the hand or on the forehead. And I was thinking about this here throughout the whole process of the shots, the jabs. How is that? How does one go from a jab in the deltoid to a mark on the hand or on the forehead? How do we reconcile that, or how do you reconcile that, if at all?
Well, I actually know somebody whose brother, I do not know the brother, but I know somebody who's a scientist whose brother's working on that. If you understand that, even take an integrated chip, or okay, an IC, and if you see the little fingers on it, these guys have, in essence, almost like a osmotic transfer, okay? And it can go on the hand. And it also, there's arguments against, well, it means an injection, shagram or shagram, you know, in the Greek word. But the point is if it's the injection, you know what I'm saying? Look at what's happening right now. It would manifest in the forehead, manifest wherever they're going to put it. They have to put it someplace. And most of the people who have taken the vaccines have taken them in the hand. Now, obviously, Bill Gates and all of his cadre from the nether worlds are trying to get food, messenger RNAs, messing with that. It doesn't matter, breakfast cereal. Heck, if you read what's in Trix, you know, I mean, Trix isn't for kids. Trix is basically the devil's chosen recipe. It is hideous in the amount of chemicals they put in there. And so they're going to get it. And so I want people to understand something. You can have an osmotic, which just means the bloodstream will basically absorb it, or it can be injected, or, you know, in the forehead. Well, some of this stuff will manifest. Anybody ever had shingles knows what happens when you get shingles. Usually it breaks, and I've had it, and it breaks out on your forehead, and you go, you know, you want to break the mirror with a hammer. I mean, you don't look very good. Have you ever had shingles?
Yeah, I have not, but I have a neighbor who has. And interestingly, you say on the forehead face area, yeah, it was hideous. I mean, it hurt to look at her. So
yeah. And here's the deal. They have to, you know, be able to penetrate the blood brain barrier, but they can do that with stuff like DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide. But what's interesting, and again, I apologize, I'm moving around because of my knee. The thing that's, I think that people need to remember, you're dealing with a supernatural knowledge base of fallen angels that have had millennia to know how to screw, and I mean screw, manipulate in this case, with human beings. You know, and it's not meant to be a double entendre, you know, but the point is that here's the thing, Doug, each one of us needs to search the scriptures to see if these things be true. We're beyond the point where people that claim to have faith can just say, well, I just don't believe that. That's just quail going off on some tangent. What does this have to do with salvation? Everything. Because salvation, we're going to have to fight for it in the power of God's might. I'm talking supernaturally in the spirit realm. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather have the angels of the Lord encamping around me than thinking that, you know, a bunch of, a bunch of well-meaning people are going to be able to deliver me from the messes I get into. And I think this is critical about the Glyph Project. The Glyph Project, in my opinion, okay, I've been saved for 53 years. Never have I taken on something like this. And I would say nobody in their right mind would do it, but yet I have the mind of Jesus Christ. I believe that, unless they were called to do it. The people that have, you know, been behind the Glyph Project are all called to do it. And here is the thing, knowledge is power, but knowledge also opens you up, and I'm talking about at that level, to a realm of unimaginable understanding of just how evil the tapestry of hell is. I'm trying to weave my fingers together, but the point is, it's so interconnected. So, Doug, again, I think it's not the argument how they're going to do it. The fact is, they're going to do it, and are we going to be able to stand against it? You know,
and that brings me to my second question. Everyone should be, I'm sure, familiar with Twilight Zone, that iconic episode, To Serve Man, where the guy is going up the ramp to the aircraft, and the cook, or the book was translated, and there was a cookbook, and there was this realization. My question to you is, will there be a realization, some sort of awakening of the masses by someone ringing the alarm bell, or by, you know, I'll just use like a current example, by RFK saying, and this could be just hopium or whatever, but saying, hey, wait a second. You know, this is, you know, the mark of the beast, or this is the precursor of the mark of the beast, or this is not what, I mean, some sort of alarm going off to alert the people. Will that happen, do you think?
Yes, and I want to make it clear. In the book of Revelation, there are two witnesses that appear simultaneously with the appearance of the Antichrist announced as that. They will be the ones that are going to warn the world in real time. The Antichrist will seek to kill him and all the Antichrist hordes. They cannot be killed until their 42 months of 3.5 years are up. Then they will be killed. Their bodies will lie in the streets of the holy city, Jerusalem, until after 3.5 days, they're raised up to heaven. And God says, come up, you know, come up hither, I guess, if it's King James or whatever he says. But it'll be known in the languages of all the people. And ladies and gentlemen, there's only two people in the entire world ever mentioned in the Hebrew, and I'm talking the scripture in both the book of Revelation and the two golden candlesticks and the book of Zechariah, is Enoch and Elijah. Now, why is that important? Because God's word is accurate. God doesn't just say, well, I meant just everybody except Enoch and Elijah. No, every man will see death and taste death, but God is the resurrection. So I want to make it clear, Doug, I don't know how many other people will stand up, but it takes a supernatural witness. And I want people to understand this. I used to think, why are there two witnesses? Simple. Because you've got the false prophet and the Antichrist, both performing lying signs and wonders. Well, look, I mean, there's nobody taking on the visible signs and wonders right now. Very few. I'm not saying nobody. Maybe that's not fair. But the very, very small minority. And yet, when they appear, the two witnesses, notice it's in two, they come with all the power of Almighty God. And anybody that tries to kill them is killed. They try and shoot them. Guess what? The guy's trying to shoot the two witnesses gets shot. And this is what's important. They, the two witnesses, have the ability to strike the earth with whatever plague or with whatever calamity they have. Because remember, the whole purpose of the Antichrist, who's taking the place of Jesus Christ, is to lie and deceive and destroy. He doesn't care how many people he kills, just that everybody dies. And so, you know, we're watching right now in real time. We're watching all of the technology, all of the supernatural revelations, the prophecies. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I never put anything equal to or on top of the scripture. But when everything converges, whether it's Nostradamus, I keep looking at my bookshelf someplace back there, there's a complete prophecies of Nostradamus. I read that 30 years ago. And then, you know, prophecy after prophecy. Beware the headline prophets. You must know when their prophecies were stated. And in my opinion, it has to have been before any visible signs of what they were prophesying even came on scene. Dmitry Dudeman, real guy, he saw the head of Russia and China making a deal. And they said, we're not going to let the Americans have a new world order. We're going to have it ourselves. What's the strongest alliance in this world? Russia, China, and Iran. Iran was the most powerful, supernaturally evil kingdom on the planet, because it was that principality, supernatural principality over Iran, was able to withstand one of the archangels, Michael. And, you know, I don't think that guy's a slouch. And I mean, that's kind of an understatement, but it took two archangels, Michael and Gabriel, to defeat the prince of Persia in order that Daniel's prayer request could be answered. And Daniel was a righteous man. The guy knew how to pray, knew how to fast. He did everything right, but he couldn't get his answer until dominion was taken in the heavenlies. And so many times, I think that's a missing link, Doug. It's a missing link in so many things. I know intercessors that know how to pray through this stuff. I think we should take on sometime Pastor John Kyle. I don't know anybody personally who's got more experience than Pastor John Kyle in deliverance. I mean, he's, in my opinion, he's a phenomenal man. I'm not flattering him, but he knows his stuff. He's been trained in the battlefield. And so what's important, so if Jesus said he gives us power, you know, to cast out power over the enemy and over every unclean spirit, then, you know, that doesn't really become real until you have to stand in your authority. That's why the word of God is so important. You know, that's why we submit ourselves to God. In other words, we're not in rebellion and we resist the devil. It's not we hope he might flee. The Bible says resist him and he will flee in the book of James. So I think it's important that people understand we've never seen what we're going to be seeing. We've never experienced on a level we're experiencing. And you know what's interesting? Because I look at, and this is true, I look at the infestation of rats in New York City. I'm talking about the four-legged ones. That may have been a Freudian slip. But the bottom line is, listen to this. As people become more evil, the vermin multiply. And I'm going, man, there's something there. There's a connection, okay? It doesn't matter what city it is, where you've got total rebellion, mockery. And I believe, truly, if New York City isn't Mystery Babylon, then it has to be the Daughter of Babylon. The late John Price wrote a book about it, the Daughter of Babylon. And I would encourage everybody who wants to challenge that statement to read Richard, it's free online, Richard Coombs' America the Babylon. And Richard was a very bright man. And I remember interviewing him 25 years ago. And, you know, again, that was so foreign to so many. By the way, I think you can find one of his interviews on the Prophecy Club on YouTube, Richard Coombs, C-O-O-M-B-S. And so the purpose of tonight's show is to say, look, UAPs, I'm going to start calling them interdimensional invaders or something, IDIs, okay, interdimensional invaders, because what they're doing is trying to dismiss the alien. Now, I want you to know, I can't use that word. I guess I infuriated somebody of a high stature in a military position. And he basically, I'll put it in language that I don't have to repent of, but he basically said, I wish that guy would quit talking about the gods of the Sumerians returning. That's their term, the gods of the Sumerians, okay? So when you look at, and this is really critical, this was in the Glyph Project questions, in the Table of Kings, which is a Sumerian, I mean, amazing document, it talks about periods of kingship, and it says this, when the kingship descended from heaven. It didn't say when it was voted in Timbuktu. No, when it descended from it. And this is where you see all the giants in history. You see all of the winged creatures. And some of those guys lived 30, 40,000 years. Well, humans don't live that long. Methuselah, 969, okay? 969 years old. But the point being is there came a time when their manipulation of the civilization they had on earth, God destroyed them in a flood. That's called Jeremiah's flood. And you can read about it in Jeremiah chapter 4. But people only think of Noah's flood. No, there was a flood before then. And you can get the reference and referencing that in the book of Enoch, because the giants knew the flood, the literal flood of God's judgment. Giants can die. And I want to make this clear, that giants can die, and their hybrid spirit, half human, half giant, or in Gilgamesh's, and I haven't figured this one out yet, but Gilgamesh was two-thirds fallen angel, one-third human. Maybe that was, I'm sorry, but maybe that was the first threesome, okay? And again, Gilgamesh is the oldest epic poem in existence. I can tell you, I knew the guys. I better be careful. I can tell you that I knew in real time when they, quote, a certain group of people that know how to bump back in the night were protecting his DNA, because it might surprise everybody that there's giants who are in stasis, suspended animation, that basically there are truly evil spirits and evil men endued with power that are trying to get the DNA of the giants. Imagine that. And that's why in the Septuagint, it talks in Isaiah 13:3 or something about giants are coming. In essence, the return of the giants to fulfill God's wrath. It's on my website, by the way. You can go look at it on the Gen 6 website. Daniel Holdings is updating that now daily. I had let it slack. I just ran out of time. I'm one guy. Thank God Daniel Holdings is doing a fabulous job. So I want people to understand something. God releases certain information at certain times. If you see that Hollywood has been the predecessor of certain announcements, they used to leak everything to the National Enquirer. And one of my favorite lines from Men in Black was, when Tommy Lee Jones is talking to somebody, maybe Will Smith, and says, they're talking about the National Enquirer, and it picks it up and he says, the only real news there is. I mean, they used to release the most outlandish stuff, but when you go back and find out, there's a whole lot of truth. And we're seeing the same thing in the cinemas now. If you notice the cinema, and I'm not recommending anybody see any of the dark stuff that's on movies or anything, but everything's being more evil, more supernatural, and more devouring of humanity. Some of the guys that play games, I don't. I mean, trust me, I don't do video games, but some of these guys are very bright, and they actually know scene by scene in every video game they played, and they'll say, this is what's going on because I won't watch them. And, and it's truly interesting, Doug, that they're all being moved in the realm of confronting supernatural evil, but some of them are making it seem like supernatural evil wins. And that will be the devil's ultimate play, and that will be why we need the mind of Jesus Christ. Most important thing I tell any Christian that believes in prayer, and I pray that Christians should believe in prayer, would start seeking God for discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more important to all of our lives being sustained in knowing what to listen to, how to take it. Look, I tell people, we've got to have the power of God. And, it's not just antics on a stage, on skinny jeans fellows, or, women that are, let's say, bastions of, how do I say this carefully? Bastions of femininity. And then you find out, whoa, do they have another life? So I think it's critical that people understand the scripture, the Holy Bible, teaches that God himself will teach us what we need to know. But we have to ask. We have to seek and knock. And it's interesting. Ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, and knock. And, it becomes so in our face that there comes a time where we used to be able, Jesus talked about it, there was a time we could walk pretty much in this kind of a space. But as we grow older, why do I not like that? As we grow older, the space we occupy, but the opportunities we have become more focused. Would you agree to that? Your concerns change.
Well, perspective concerns. Yes, I do. Steve, hold that thought. I blew past the top of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com, also Renaissance Precious Metals. Again, the Hagman Report, weeknights from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to thank everyone joining us in the chat on Rumble. We really appreciate you. And folks, support Steve by going to gen6.com, by going to Steve Quayle, bookmark his website, gen6.com. To take advantage of the intellectual products that he has, from books, DVDs, and video on demand. Please do that. You will be enriched by that. And also, if you're a serious investor, Renaissance Precious Metals. Before I get back to Steve, I want to thank those people who support us and the sponsors who support us. VirtualShield.com/Hagman. Now, there is a virtualshields.com/deals/Hagman. It'll take you to the same space or same place, but virtualshield.com/Hagman. Folks, look, the world's most famous celebrities this past, here within the last several months, and billionaires were just angered because the internet used apps to stalk the flight routes of the private jets that they were on. But new legislation at the time by Congress has made that illegal. And that just allows the rich rich and famous and powerful and, you know, better than us, right? Our betters to anonymize their travels and makes it hard to track them. But what about you and me? What about us? You know, when regular folk like us, you know, we complain about privacy. The government doesn't do a doggone thing about it. In fact, they double down against us in many cases, which is why I protect my personal data. I know Eric the Tech does this as well, with virtualshield.com. Today's sponsor, of course, to the show, Virtual Shield helps protect my private information, browsing history, internet activity from cyber criminals, hackers, and tech corporations, ISPs. And actually, if you want to know the truth, people like me, investigators that have the ability to access some databases. We do. And you'd be surprised what's out there, folks. Start browsing the internet anonymously today. And this, I have to say, this does work because it does block a lot of stuff. But start browsing the internet anonymously today with up to 67% off and a 60-day risk-free trial of Virtual Shield by visiting virtualshield.com/Hagman. It'll be in the program description box below. And I thank you for that. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Also, one mention of this, go to sat123.com. Steve's got a lot of, in fact, if you go to stevequayle.com, click through the links on his website, my website, whatever, darkbags.com, escape zone, many, many places or many links will take you to virtually the same spot. But I'll tell you what, Dark Bags, if you want a great Christmas gift, hey, a sat phone, a bivy stick. Let me tell you, they all work marvelously. I can't really tell you, but I'll just tell you. They saved my butt many times, and especially over the last several months, as well as the Faraday bags and the anti-ballistic backpacks. I can't think of a better gift for Christmas for a child. Sadly, we know, hey, it's a school shooting or whatever. That backpack might just save a life. Do it today. But Steve Quayle, through his website, click the links from Steve Quayle's website or even Hagman PI. So with that, Steve Quayle, Steve, thanks for your patience. Sorry for the interruption. Come on, Beck.
Thank God that Sat123. Sat123.com and, you know, all of the darkbags.com and escapezone.com. One of the interesting things about their products is they're what I call life assurance products. And I think the Christmas special is pretty cool because when you buy one satellite phone, two or three, they've got special packages and they give you one of the ballistic backpacks free. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the key. Start investing in your safety and your family's safety. Nobody who owns a vehicle with a remote key fob should be without a dark bag. You cannot think for a moment that things are normal. You know, if you've got a garage door clicker, you have to put that clicker in your dark bag. And it's phenomenal that for such a little price, you know, the protective factor per dollar spent cannot be achieved any greater than the dark bags. Then I want everyone to understand, look at the amount of death and destruction from the geoengineered weather warfare that's making war against Florida, making war against North Carolina. So many people without power. God bless Tina and God bless all the men in their private helicopters, Gary Haven, you know, all of the guys that were helping the North Carolinians. And I want everyone to understand something. In one of the private briefings, and this is what they're so important for, we have an eyewitness testimony of what the FEMA camps are really about. They're not to help people. Look at the camp that's in North Carolina. There's no homeless people or people that lost everything. Those are execution centers. FEMA, I'm sorry, slamming my desk. Those are execution centers. They are not designed, to give you a happy meal and keep your family together and speak of the fine American tradition. They're designed to do one thing and do one thing only, destroy without any mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, that situation of 350 semi-trailers that were dropping off equipment in Michigan, that is going to be one of the biggest regional FEMA camps. And I'm asking the question, Doug, where is any conversation in the Trump administration drawing attention to that? Because Kristi Noem should know better, you know. And again, ladies and gentlemen, they're not for what, R&R, rest and relaxation, you know. It's beyond my ability. So in essence, in one of the private briefings, you know, I have an eyewitness testimony, Doug, you've read it, telling what the rooms are for, and some of it's really gruesome. And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, there are 250,000 guillotines in this country. When that whole story broke, what, 20, 25 years ago, you know, the person who told me was a longshoreman in Long Beach. I knew his brother, and his brother was a test pilot for Boeing, and we were pretty good friends. The story of the ships being unloaded and the crates of guillotines breaking, that's real stuff. So private briefings, I want to make this pitch. That is the most important thing in the natural realm that I have ever been involved in. Okay. Then I see people copying private briefings. Well, what do you call a private briefings board if you don't have any privacy or you need to call, you know, it goes wacky. But the point is our private briefing subscriptions are like nothing else in the world because we deal with stuff that's out of the world and we deal with the, you know, the things that people just don't see. For instance, if I tell people this, how many people will realize that the other day Russia made it clear that if Great Britain and U.S. and NATO, U.S. is NATO, U.S./NATO, were to agree on a phone call that they were going to allow Zelensky to use the long-range cruise missiles, within minutes, I'm told, Moscow rang 10 Downing Street in Pennsylvania and said, if you so much as agree to that, You're done. They were ready to launch. You know, I can tell people that, but if it doesn't show up in the vomit press, well, you know, you're just trying to scare us. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason we fight so hard, those of us in the alternate media, the truth media, is to save lives. But denial is unto death. I want to make that clear. Denial is unto death now, because again, people that want to close their eyes. And, you know, I used to tell this story, you know, the guy that's going to facing a firing squad, he thinks if he's got his blindfold on and is singing happy tunes, the bullets won't kill him. It doesn't work that way, you know? So I think it's problematic that what we're seeing, and by the way, this is the news on latest thing I know, why there's no rioting in the streets with the pallets of bricks and all that stuff. They're going to save it for that week of the inauguration. That's when the you know what's going to hit the you know what, and everybody's going to be sprayed by the you know what.
Wow. Yeah. And folks, I can't tell you. I mean, if you're not sold by now on private briefings, I don't know what to say, but it's very important. It's helped me in show prep. And in fact, I was talking about the very thing, Steve, you were talking about, you know, about the Russian situation. It's kind of funny, too. Blinken came out today. I don't know how many people saw this, saying, you know, yeah, we're going to push as much money and military material as well into Ukraine before the 20th of January. But all of this is shaping up to be, you know, we said the most dangerous time, and I think we were cautious enough, the most dangerous time was going to be between Election Day and Inauguration Day. And I think that, you know, and beyond, let's make no mistake about it, and beyond. And what I know about this, folks, I just want to tell you this, too, because it's related. The number of assassination attempts, you know, people will say, well, yeah, there was two, one in Butler, one obviously, and then one in Florida. But there are many, many more. And this is the most dangerous time, I think, in American history. This is pre-revolutionary 2.0 stuff going on. And if you're not awake to what's going on, you need to be. And that's all I'm going to say. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, one of the things, I just want to take one appointment. The proposed Secretary of Treasury. I forget his name now, but he's George Soros's financial money manager of $2 billion, okay? George Soros, and I maintain America has been Soros-sided. That's kind of suicided. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can't drain the swamp and hire the head alligator breeder to expect to back off. And it's kind of like you give one really great appointment and then you give two really bad ones. The Speaker of the House is no fan of Trump's. He's been on record in the past. Yet why would Doug, let me ask you something. Why would you put an enemy of yours into place? Why? It doesn't make any sense.
Are you talking about the Speaker or are you talking about the Treasury Secretary?
I'm talking about the Treasury Secretary.
Yeah. You know what? I've got notes on that. Steve, it defies explanation. And those people who are saying, well, you know, the 4D chess, really, again? No, I don't think so. Here we go. Let's see here. Treasury Secretary. Why'd I leave him off? I left him off. But everyone should know who we're talking about. I think there are some selections here. If they can't get confirmed by the Senate, and if they are not able to get a recess appointment schedule, then I think there might be some bartering back and forth. But, you know, to me, it's inexplicable. I don't know. I mean, I look at Kristi Noem, I kind of scratch my head on that. I know her history, but why her for that position? I understand Ratcliffe. I understand. I even understand and agree with Gates. But then there are other positions, like you said. Okay, why in the... Especially when we're adding $1 trillion per year, bigger than the defense budget for debt service. And we're spending actually $1 trillion every, or our budget or our deficit is going up, I think $1 trillion every 100 days, if I'm not mistaken. But it's out of control. And I don't have an answer to that, Steve. Long-winded answer to a really simple question. I don't know.
Well, it's not a simple question, Doug, and it's not a simple answer. But what it is, it's cause for alarm and concern. Because, again, when I heard, you know, Kristi Noem, you know, FEMA is an enemy of all humans. It should be disbanded. Ladies and gentlemen, the heartache in North Carolina, pray, donate to the real people that are on the ground. And when you hear the stories of bodies of entire families being burned under wood debris
or brush.
Piles, you got to take that stuff seriously. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the point. Now we're watching another hurricane. What is it, the 19th in the season or tropical storm that's going to be? It's being steered. Nobody has done more of a great job than Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org. Look, I know him. I consider him my friend. He probably thinks I'm his friend too. I hope so. But no one has done the job that he's done to try and get the world to understand. And when you talk weather warfare, you know what you're talking about. If you can just go to the Air Force document, Weather is a Force Multiplier. And it's interesting. That's a real document. I downloaded it in my book, Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters. And there are Snopes and others who say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. Any fact-checking website is owned by the enemy, okay? It's owned by the enemy. It doesn't matter who. It's the enemy. They're the enemy of truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, and he is the light. You abandon Jesus, we turn our back on the living God, and people say, well, God will help us in a time of need. I'm telling you this, you better learn a principle in biblical history and real history. When a nation turns its back on God, that's when God turns his back on that nation. So I want to ask everybody some words. Where is the word repentance Nowhere. Where is the word being reconciled? Jesus had the ministry of, through his death and resurrection, of reconciling us to God the Father. People are saying, well, all roads lead to the same place. Yeah, hell, unless they're a Christian, road with Jesus. And see, this is what's problematic to me. Someone says, oh, you're a religious bigot. I said, no, not really. I can pretty well talk to anybody about any religion and show where they believe they end up. You know, do you want to be in a world of existential nothingness? You know, do you want to be in a place where you meditate for all eternity? And, you know, that's such a waste of life. So I think what's important is this, Doug. Circumstances are going to explode beyond our control. I sent Eric just the last story about Iran and Israel are going to go at it. Israel and the United States cannot defeat Iran with its Russian and Chinese overseers. And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, the first time in 40 years when the ICBM was, I'm covering a lot of stuff really fast, when the ICBM was launched from China into pretty much the South Pacific, that was their statement that they will use a nuclear weapon on Kauai on the Pacific Missile Theater Range, which is the command control and, you know, if you will, the cerebral cortex of every single aspect of our military in the whole Western Pacific. You know, Diego Garcia, Guam will be hit too. So, Doug, Iran prepares for full-scale war with Israel, digs massive defensive tunnel in Tehran that links. I actually talked to somebody who knows the count. There is no way. Israel cannot handle 8,000 missiles. They just can't do it. There's not enough Iron Dome. The U.S. is out of ammo. So we're provoking war with China, Russia, and Iran. And, you know, we're the ones that started the whole nuclear war talk. We are. And we're the ones that lied like, I don't know what's a good example, but we're the ones that lied like Aesop's fairy tales, I guess, and broke every agreement that was signed up with Russia. Pragmatists want to be pragmatic. By the way, I'm a pragmatist. Forget the optimist. Forget the pessimist. Pragmatist. Tell people the way it is. And if they don't like it, oh, that's so scary. Well, wait until it really gets hairy. By the way, I'm just getting an email in, and the amount of bird flu articles is exploding. So I will try and get you, Doug, and put it up. But there is an interview, again, with Gary Stearman and Tom Horn 14 years ago talking where Tom said it would be bird flu, and the integration of the response to bird flu would be the introduction of the mark of the beast, and they will force you to take it or die. And they will use everything. So, ladies and gentlemen, sure, we've got free choice whether we take it or not, but it takes strength in Jesus, and he'll see us through, if we trust him, to basically consider all the ramifications. I believe that's the time that God's people who believe him, pray to him, trust him, and take the gospel serious, I believe that's when they're going to shine, and that's where the Spirit of God's going to be poured out without measure. But again, ladies and gentlemen, this is very dangerous. Keep watching the amount of articles on UAPs, UFOs, and Lorraine Bobber, she nailed it. And I know that from our Glyph Project. I know the response of the forces of darkness. And Doug, and you and I hosted the thing. There's a lot of stuff we won't release because it could be abused and used against people. So by the grace of God, we thank everybody that was a part of that. And by the way, we're going to come out with a quarterly update on that, and it'll be by subscription base, because these guys that are women, that are both men and women that are spread around the world, they got to get paid for their efforts. And I don't believe it's just or right to muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the grain. And for the record, we are going to see things we've never seen before, because Jesus said they've never been before. And that's the hardest thing I know to wrap your mind around.
Man, you got that right. I mean, the timing, you know, I'm looking... Steve, I'm looking at the timing of what you have brought forth so far, and I'm just I, I'm I'm in awe because I think the timing is right. Look what happened with the subcommittee hearings. Look at the talk on Capitol Hill. Look at the talk in some of the Western press, including and especially the Daily Mail. And you've been saying all of this for quite some time. So, this is phenomenal. And I hope people are taking this to heart. Now, Steve, you might have to bounce. I know we've got about 30 minutes left. So
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm good to go.
Okay. I do want to mention this one thing because I've been getting a lot of emails and such about this. I do want to mention this and as a standalone topic. And if you want to address it, fine. If not, that's fine too. But I do know that the InfoWars, for those who don't know, InfoWars, Alex Jones, was shut down today. And I was... Steve, after you and I spoke today, I'll admit this on air, and I apologize. When you had called me, I didn't realize I fell asleep at my desk. Okay, watching Bannon because I was up half the night. But anyway, so that's why I sounded like I was, on drugs or something. I was just wow, But here's the issue with this. They're coming after all of us, and this is perhaps one of the biggest injustices I've ever seen. Now, I didn't talk to Alex today, but I did talk to someone close to him, the operation, and what they did to him is it's the equivalent of sending Gestapo into a business, and I use that term deliberately, and saying, okay, we are going to pull the plug. And they pulled the plug at the IT level, and they took away essentially his person, except for his name. Now, the show will carry on differently and is carrying on differently. But the fact of the matter is, if they can do that, and they did do it to Alex Jones, made it impossible for him to even come close to recovering. They can do it to every one of us and have the intent to do it to every one of us. I don't want to drag that out, but I'll be addressing that in more detail tomorrow. Hopefully I can talk to Alex between now and then and get some direct quotes. But just, Steve, you know about that, but my goodness, it's horrible. So, okay, anywhere you want to go from here, Steve?
What they've done to Alex, in my turn, would be heinous, calculated. And at first, when I saw The Onion bought it, now The Onion has been a satirical site. What they got with InfoWars, they got mailing lists, they got everything. So they are going to try with a lot of money behind them. Look, it's interesting. How could the people, the Sandy Hook plaintiffs who got a judgment that they've been unable to collect on, where does The Onion get that kind of money? Because again, there were big bidders in this. So this is suspicious in itself, okay? Because again, ladies and gentlemen, The Onion will own everything of InfoWars. So this is to castigate Alex, to try and destroy Alex, but God is with him.
I totally agree with that. And I'll say this. I think, the money, the dark money behind this action, perhaps it relates to Soros. I haven't had the confirmation on that. But, this is what they're attempting to do is mock the truth.
Yes.
I mean, and after our conversation, as disjointed as I was thinking about how they're doing the same thing in real time to you, how they're doing it to a lesser extent to us, our platform, but it's happening. And, it's not only distracting, but it's also divisive. It's intentionally divisive. So, yeah, this is something that you and I spoke about this type of stuff back in probably 2015 or so.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah, at least. So, we knew this was coming and we're all on the chopping block. And I think, do you trust? Do you have a good feeling about X as being a free speech platform or do you think that could possibly change? I mean,
well, Doug, again, I've got to say this. We all have to take it hour by hour, day by day, because everything is changing. And I mean, everything. So I don't have a feel for that yet. But by the way, I want to make a statement. I'm on X now because my daughter, Stephanie, told me that I need to get my message out to more people. Well, I've never been on social media, but if you want people to see what Alex said about me, and I've been on his show for 25 years, off and on, maybe once a year, I want you to take a look at It's Real Steve Quayle on X, okay? It's no longer the YouTube 400 Steve Quayles. They must like those letters of the alphabet. That's a real story in itself. But I want you to see, and I'm posting on that, beyond the stuff, the private briefing stuff is private. My podcasts, those are in real time. But you want to see what Alex had to say about me, just scroll down to that. And it's right there. I think it's, I don't know, what, 30 seconds? But again, I think because of his knowledge, he's got a photographic memory. I think he's a unique individual. I think he's gifted by the living God. I know all the haters. I want to make this clear. The two most dangerous things I see in the earth, and it was courtesy of Jesus when he said, Steve, the two most deadly sins in my body, meaning those who call themselves Christians, or will be jealousy and envy prior to my second coming.
Man,
boy,
that's
that
true.
Nails it. And jealousy and envy were the cause behind the first murder recorded in the Old Testament.
Amen. And Eric the Tech has that up. Can we play the 30 seconds? Because I think
yeah,
it's
please.
Important.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
If he would be so kind.
Yeah, go ahead. Whoop, wrong one there. And Alex, I'm telling you what. No, we're not. Okay. Alex is a good guy. I mean, look, I look at him and Steve, myself. I mean, we're friends. We have to support those who are telling the truth. And I think that he's not controlled opposition. He's not Bill Hicks. People, stop it. The guy's an embattled warrior out there trying to get the truth out to the American and well to the entire world, and it's working. So I've got a lot of respect for him. And yep, here we go. But what he did say about Steve, and in fact, Steve, I want to tell you this because it does relate to what you said earlier. I do have an interview that Alex and I did probably 5 years ago. I don't know. It's up. I just posted it this week. I'm posting a lot of the old shows. I've got some old shows with you, Tom Horn, and so on. So I'm putting back up to remind people of your just how right you were, how correct you were back then. Very interesting stuff. Those will be up this week in the audio, or the video's ready. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, there is no one that knows as much as Steve Quayle. But his only issue, and it clicked like 5 years ago to me, he is so far ahead. He keeps saying it's imminent because it's so real because he's gotten the transmission from the Holy Spirit. But now everything he said is now here exactly as he said. This last night, because I slept here with him trying to shut us down, I went and got his books off the shelf that I'd already read, these huge books. And I was reading. I was like, this book's 20 years old. This book's 10 years old. This book's – it's just like – this is prophecy.
And there it is. Just that short clip. My goodness. Speaks a lot. Speaks volumes, Steve.
Well, again, I want to say this. My operating principle in life, a man has nothing except he receive it from above. I give God the glory. I mean, you know, it's just wonderful to know that somebody as screwed up as I was, and I'm in the process of being unscrewed, you know, I mean, with my life, that God would choose to let me do this. He told me point blank, and people say, oh, you don't hear from God. You're crazy. Oh, yes, I do. And he said, if I would be faithful to warn his people, and that was a real issue, he would bring the people to my life that would tell me what to say. I said, Lord, I live in Bozeman, Montana. I got five kids, and I got, five kids, you know. And the bottom line is that I don't travel much anymore. As a matter of fact, I hate to travel. I've got a bad attitude towards traveling. But again, God has been faithful. And, you know, my gratitude towards a living God is so, I'm just saying this, what can I say? And, you know, I want to say something. Alex is one of the only people outside of you, Doug, that ever allowed me to pray on his show for everyone. And Alex has had an amazing move of God in his life. It's interesting. Christians who do nothing, have nothing to show for themselves, always criticize him, criticize me, criticize this, criticize that. But I want people to say, look at the body of works over all these decades, okay, that have come out. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be able, Doug, you got the links to Russ Dizdar's interview, right?
Yes.
And we're going to be putting up the Russ Dizdar interview that we did that's so prescient, so important. And just, I commend you, Doug, because I was going to ask you this, but you just kind of volunteered it. I think we should rerun every single one of Tom Horn's interviews. And I don't know if you have them. Yeah, it's that important. Tom was a gift to the body of Christ, unequaled in his intelligence. He truly was. Unequaled in his speaking capabilities, and he was, and he left such a legacy of amazing prophecy. As most people know, he's the only one that knew in the final conclave. What was the story? The book he wrote about the Pope stepping down. I can't
think. Petrus Romanus.
Yeah, Petrus Romanus, so many things he said. And I'd encourage everybody to go on Skywatch and get those books to memorialize his words. Because I'm telling you this, I know a lot of people, that's an understatement. Remember my marching orders from the Lord Jesus Christ. If I will be faithful to warn his people. And I got to be honest, there are times I've said to the Lord, God, I don't want anything to do with those people anymore. And, you know, and I'm just saying, Lord, how come these Christians have such vehemence and hatred? And the Lord said to me, what makes you think they're my people? And, you know, that kind of slapped me in the back, you know, because, again, Jesus said, if we love him, we'll feed his sheep. But again, there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing, and there's a lot of wolves that basically are hungry, and they're coming after everybody. I think people have got to realize that if one thing comes out of this show that, in my opinion, is critical beyond all that you and I've ever done, is we're stepping into a new time period where supernatural interdimensional war is underway, and we're watching it play out. And I thank God for Alex's testimony. I mean, the man is a phenomenon. He's called by God. No one could do what he could do unless he were called by God. No one. And look, everyone is subject to change. I mean, we're going from glory to glory, you know? I mean, I wish I could have known 30 years ago or what, 35 years ago, what I know now. But here's the thing. God will always provide his fruit, his word, his bread of heaven, Jesus, to those who hunger and thirst after him. That's why I want to say this. There's nothing more important, nothing than tightening up our relationship with the Lord. I find every day I'm saying, God, search my heart. I got to forgive this guy. I got to forgive this guy. And even from the furthest depths, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me, because I don't want one iota of unforgiveness, because I know I'm forgiven to the extent I forgive others. And, you know, again, the love of God. I guess I've been in the battlefield too long to know that it's God's love for us that sent Jesus to the cross. It's God's love for us that raised Jesus from the dead. It's God's love for us, his creation, human beings, that Jesus is coming back for. And it's his love for us that will protect us through the times ahead, or he'll take us home. And Doug, I know many of the things that I'm talking about. I don't know, honestly, whether I'll live long enough to see them all. But I believe the people that will see them all, and just like Alex said, the gift of being ahead of time and the problem that comes with it is when you're given that the vision. By the way, I was given a vision panorama of the end times when I saw Jesus face to face. I've had people call me a liar, a fraud, and, you know, and every other word. But the man with the experience of Jesus, well, how is it I had it the same way that I fell at his feet as one dead? I couldn't get up. And I'm not pulling that as any form of spirituality. I'm defining my calling. And when he said I would have a Joseph's ministry, you know, I mean, that's what I've been doing in the prep business. I'm one of the guys that started the prep business, you know, on a national scale. So I think what's important is this: to God be the glory. And I want everyone to understand something. If I get an email that says, thank you, I take my hands, I really do like this, and I give it to the Lord, because I know this: in me dwelleth no good thing. And the only thing that comes out of me that's good is what the Holy Spirit works through me. That's not false humility. That's true. And I think, guys, you know, there's a scripture I live on. They who have been forgiven much love much. And, you know, I've tried to be honest, maybe at some points too honest. But, you know, again, I can only say this: I live. And the other night I was praying about this, and I thought, he said, Steve, whose approval do you want? Because I was torqued over a certain incident. And he said, you realize the only approval that matters is mine? Boy, you know, that hit me like, you know, not a ton of bricks, but that pierced my heart. And, you know, Doug, I think we all lose track of that, because public opinion is what, you know, one minute they're saying Hosanna, and within 3 days they're saying crucify him, you know? And I mean, that's the way fickle humans are. If you say something people agree with, oh, you're the best guy in the world. If I say something people agree with, oh, I'm the best guy in the world. I'm saying that's what they say. Boy, step on their sacred cows. You know, you blah, 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 you know? And I'm learning. Haven't done it very well in the past, but I'm learning just to let it go, not answer. And I have to become more disciplined in that. But I think it's important that people understand my relationship with Doug. And I think, you know, you're well to speak to that. I'll shut up a minute or for a while. But the bottom line is, it was a God thing. The whole basis of our relationship was a God thing. And it was, ladies and gentlemen, over death threats to myself and my family and attempts on my life that were intercepted due to the grace of God and some amazing circumstances. Is that a fair statement?
100%. And if I can add to that, I remember the day when I left my hotel. I was in the Hudson Valley area of New York State, and I had in my briefcase copies of some of the most heinous, folks, I can't even describe the types of threats, verbal threats that, you know, were taken off of Steve's answering machine at that time. Of course, you know, that was a thing back then. And I remember pulling out and getting to the highway and seeing a sign. I was like at a T, and the sign pointed one way to New York City, X amount of miles the other way to, I don't know, Syracuse or west. And I had this absolute overwhelming feeling that I needed to go to New York City. And I remember that. And from that moment on, and I can't explain that feeling, except every fiber in my body was like, it was almost like God talking to me. Okay, maybe he was. But after that, there was absolutely no question when I made that turn, made that decision. And that's how you and I really became friends. And I'll tell you something, folks, what Steve went through back then, his family, he just went through hell. And he weathered it nicely. But these people were, and I say people because there was more than one, were definitely planning on doing him in. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, and again, ladies and gentlemen, Doug went into the city. He did the investigation, went literally to the phone booth that these entities were calling threatening. It wasn't just me. It was what they were going to do to my wife and what they were going to do to my kids, blah, blah, blah. And Doug put himself into harm's way for my sake. And ladies and gentlemen, when someone does that, That's friendship. And a lot of people have tried to separate Doug and I. A lot of people have been jealous of our relationship. But ladies and gentlemen, you have a friendship forged in the furnace of affliction. I mean, it's a powerful thing. And as God has been so gracious to me, for Doug to allow me to be on his platform. And, you know, it's just been, it's a wonderful thing. So what I'm trying to get across in this story and kind of sharing this personal stuff is, look, I don't know why God chose me. I know that he did chose me. Doesn't mean any, it doesn't mean, I'm any better. And again, I just relax in this statement. They who have been forgiven much love much. I know people say, well, I wish I had your testimony. And I say, I pray to God you didn't have it that's my response, because I tell people that they have no idea of the level that I had sunk to. And I don't want to admit to that stuff. By the way, I've never tried to hide my past. But the thing is that I do thank the Lord Jesus Christ for redeeming me. And I mean, I got to tell you something. I'm eternal and grateful. Like I said, the last three words are, thank you, Jesus, is what my last words I want to be. And I should say, wow, thank you, Jesus, when I see him in glory again. And, you know, I've had the blessing of seeing Jesus twice, and I've shared those stories. I've kept a lot of things in my heart because as Nehemiah, neither have I told any man what God had placed within my heart to do. And I think one of the most amazing answers to prayer was when I was trying to be overly open, and the Lord literally spoke into my heart, and he said, I never called you to be a jewelry store for swine. A jewelry store, obviously, it's one thing to cast your pearls before swine. It's nothing to offer them anything in the case, you know? So in essence, Derek Prince said an amazing thing, who, by the way, I literally sat under in person at three or four big-time, multi-day conferences through 10 years or so. I listened to every one of his tapes. I read every one of his books. By the way, so has my son, Tyler. But the point that I want to make is this. Foundational teaching in the Word of God is critical. And Paul talks about the time has come when men won't even endure sound doctrine. Not only can they not endure it, they are not even presented with them. Man is infinitely susceptible to deception and to basically apathy, indifference. And we as a species, you know, we're to the point now where we're soon to be extincticus humanicus. That's my bad Latin, but you know, we're facing extinction. And one of the things that I'm telling all the people that send me stories to post, I will not post any questions. Is this World War III? If you don't believe it's World War III, don't bother sending it to me. Could we be facing the mark of the beast? If you're saying that, you don't have the strength of your own conviction. That's trying to be weasel wording, okay? Weasel wording. It's kind of like trying to walk on the fence, and you want everybody to see you, but you don't want to commit yourself, you know? And I think that this is why that God bless Alex. And I mean that. And for the record, I want everybody to know, I don't have his personal phone number. I can barely get through to him. The only way I can get through to him is when we're talking off camera, when, you know, there's a break of 1 or 2 minutes. And that's the truth, because he's busy. And, you know, if he calls me, I'll answer. If he asks me to be on a show, I'll be on a show. But the point is that I still pray for him. To me, he is the tip of the spear. He's a astonishing human being. And so I want people to understand, I don't talk to Alex, yet the thing that Alex said about me, the man's got a photographic memory. He truly does. And there's nobody, Doug, I think, that can lay claim to the truth movement that's fought for it harder, and it deserves to be delivered from the furnace of affliction more than him. And I thank God for his changing attitude and heart towards the things of God, giving the Holy Spirit credit, and even talking about the experience he had. I went on a show one time and shared my testimony, and he said when he saw Jesus, he couldn't even look in his face. Well, I got to tell you, you know, the glory of God is one thing. And by the way, I saw Jesus. I didn't see God the Father. One of my critics said, no man has seen God and lived any time. I said, well, then you better take it up with 400 people that saw Jesus after his crucifixion and resurrection. You know, and again, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's a difference between that statement and being hidden in the cleft of a rock, as Moses was, and God caused him his hinder parts to, I mean, I guess Moses got to see the outline of God. But I think what is really critical now is everybody gets a hold of this thing. There's nothing more important to any of us at this point than our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When that entity in the papacy said, this is not important, a personal relationship with Christ, I said, who wrote that script? Satan? You know, again, relationship with Jesus is everything. Religion is the most devastating force on earth because it has a form of religiosity, and people think that's going to save by a building with a bunch of gold crosses and some guys that are changing their vestments or whatever you call that stuff, you know? I mean, look, I mean, I think cardinals, you know, I don't know the Catholic hierarchy, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, they dress in all these, you know, cloaks and robes and stuff. I want the guy on the street that's met Jesus, t-shirt, blue jeans, and sneakers. And when the two witnesses show up, they're going to be clothed in sackcloth. That doesn't mean they're going to be, and I am not kidding you, there's a lot behind this statement. They're not going to be wearing Brioni ascension robes. If anybody doesn't know what Brioni is, it's one of the most expensive Italian suits in the world. And so there was a certain individual on TV saying, if you gave so much money, he would sell you, I'm not kidding, sell you a Brioni ascension robe. Oh my goodness. No, God, your goodness. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Go ahead.
No, you said a lot there. And for the people who don't know my background, I graduated from a seminary. And, you know, I think back during that time, and boy, I'll tell you what, you know, aside from the curriculum, we had to learn Latin back then and other languages. But the only thing that taught me was the church history, the history of the Catholic Church, the policies and procedures, the rules of the religion, so to speak, never mentioning, really, not focusing on God and Jesus Christ. It was surreal thinking back about how one is programmed in that. So what you said is so important. There's a difference between this religiosity or whatever you said versus a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's something that cannot be taught, I don't think. You know, the run-up to that can be taught, or at least you can counsel someone to that, but you cannot teach that. So I admire what you said about the religion aspect versus the relationship, the personal relationship. And the fact too, earlier you said about repentance, and you know, we lack repentance individually and as a nation, and we need to bring that back into the fold. That's all.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, it's my contention. People can quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. They can quote all the scriptures. But there is a point, Doug, where God turns his back on a nation and turns the nation over to their own wickedness. I believe America is a reprobate nation. I believe that God has turned his back on us, and that's as a nation. I don't believe I've ever heard anybody in the political realm bring up the word repentance. Without repentance, there can be no reconciliation between human beings and God the Father. Without repentance, there can be no, not only reconciliation, but you've got to understand, redemption is a personal matter between the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's mind-blowing, the most mind-blowing thing I can tell anybody about having a personal relationship with Jesus is you said, henceforth, I call you no longer servants, but friends. For the servant knoweth not what the master does. The fact that the Son of God says, if you believe in him, that he's going to call you his friend. I mean, that blows my mind to this day. I've often prayed, God, you're getting the raw end of the deal. I'm getting the best end of the deal. Because again, ladies and gentlemen, how cool is that? Because Colossians 1:16 and 17, yeah, I'm quoting scripture, says everything that exists, exists and consists because of Jesus. Go look it up. He's not, how do I say this? There's no worse representation of who Jesus is than in an ignorant, no, non-doctrinally sound, quote, believer, you know? And again, I would say this to anybody, Doug. The question isn't, you know, do you know Jesus? The question has to be inverted. Does Jesus know you? Because he says, in those days, people are going to come and say, we did this, we did that for you, Jesus. And he'll say, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness, I never knew you. People, you want to be known. Man. You want to be known.
Steve, we are out of time. I want to thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart to be this platform would not exist without you. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your continued friendship, your counsel, your advice, and most importantly, for reaching out and touching many, many hearts and souls out there. We really appreciate you. Steve Quayle, gen6.com for his products, and of course, Steve Quayle.com for news items. Please bookmark both websites.